This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Hey guys, this is the beginning to the podcast. We just want to say thank you for tuning in. If you listened this morning on Tuesday, the 31st of July, thank you for tuning in. But if you're listening to the podcast for the first time, welcome. It's lovely to have you.
And welcome to the family.
Extra content, here's Ben making some silly noises.
Not so much silly noises, but you were going to say August then, weren't you?
I was.
Because this year, it's just going so quickly. We're into another month already. And what will that month bring? Has anyone got anything that's coming up that month is going to bring?
Well, later this week, I'm actually picking up a camera. Well, I'm into picking up a camera for a modeling project that I'm doing. So
are you modeling that's exciting. Or you're filming
something? Oh, no, like I'm filming myself. Nice. I had an interview for it last week and it went really well. And I'm actually looking forward to this quite a lot.
Well, if it goes too well, we might have to get a new host.
Possibly.
Are we doing all these modeling?
No, I feel like I can juggle the two quite well.
Oh, hopefully so.
Circus act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's been an incredible week. There was plenty discussed on the podcast here today. But the thing that I would love to pose to everybody is how early can you drink a cup of coffee?
Well, Ben, I'm glad you've asked because I had my first intake of caffeine this morning at 4 o'clock. And you know what? By the time I'm coming into the studio, I'm ready and roaring. I'm so ready to go and I'm off the charts. You should see me at 6 a.m. I am absolutely lifting the cap and loving it.
So from the last 2 weeks, you had a coffee this morning?
Yes.
Whereas the last 2 weeks, you had a can of Mother.
Yes.
How did that differentiate in mood?
Well, I had a double shot in my coffee this morning, so that probably speaks into why I'm
speaking
so fast. Which
is, I was going to say, you're talking very hurriedly.
That was put on, though.
I had a double shot this morning, but I feel like for me, that's just like what I regularly have, so that's why I'm like a little bit slow, but that's fine.
It's fine to be a little bit slow in the morning. I mean, these are early hours this show is on. If you're up and you listen, we thank you so much for doing so.
Absolutely. What are you getting up to in the next month, Ben?
A bit of this, a bit of that. I've got quite a few concerts coming up, which is always fine. You always have to have one on the go.
Yeah.
At least I think so. Just quite a few little things here and there. Plenty of work, plenty of leisure, plenty of friends to catch up with, and plenty of good times on the radio.
Well, I've got some exciting news. I joined a think tank group, and we're having a ball of time because we're inventing a time machine together, and we're going back in time to discover where this group of bandits have been hiding out, and we're on a mission to save the world, and you won't even know that's happened because everything that they have done will be undone.
Okay.
Now, is that's not like a theatre thing? That's just some...
Yeah, it's just a group that we meet up every Friday.
Oh, okay.
We have kebabs, we drink coffee. It
sounds kind of like a cult.
Yeah.
Not really. We're a group of smart people, actually, and we've got this time
just
machine
putting
going.
Yourself over
it's
on the
it's no DeLorean Back to the Future garb or anything like that. It's a big tin cobbled thing.
But what is the end game with this? Like, are you presenting something or?
Well, you'll probably notice as you walk out of the studio today that there'll be giant statues of me erected everywhere. Because of what's happened, I'll be the president of the world. So people listening to Sin know that the president of the world is going to be good quality.
Agreed.
Wow, okay. when they said bonus content, this isn't quite what I had in mind, but that's all fine. Bram, there's much going on in August for you.
In August? I'm actually not too sure at the moment. Like, it's really weird because my life at the moment is very much like a balance of go with the flow, but also planning ahead. I feel like I need to do more planning ahead. I do have a few graveyard shifts lined up at Sin, actually.
And what time can we catch you on the air?
That's from 2 till 6 in the morning.
Goodness.
Yeah. I have lofty ideas for these shows, but it's just a matter of trying to build a story and make it so that, it, you know, it's palatable to people who are up at 2 a.m.
And is that something you're doing solo or you got someone with you?
At the moment, I'm doing it solo, but I feel like I could benefit from having other people who are willing to be up at this ridiculous hour with me. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
That's you, yeah. Listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been ordered. 2 a.m.
You've been warned.
Not a minute after or not a minute earlier.
Yeah.
Sometime a Bram. Nothing greater.
Oh, you.
So what music can we find on that early morning program?
It's going to be a bit of everything. It's just going to be... Like, I find it weird saying this because Sin is known for playing fairly, like, eclectic music. But, like, I feel like these sort of 4 hours will be, like... very much, well, more so that it'll sort of be stuff that's completely off the wall, stuff that maybe people have never heard before. I have pretty great ideas lined up for these shows.
Is it fair to say it might be a bit of a rave cave? Like, have you got, like, yeah. some strobe lights and everyone's invited and...
Yeah, sure.
They wouldn't be invited, would they? Well, they wouldn't be allowed in. But
well, I mean, like they're allowed to come in. They're just not allowed to be on air.
And in regards to my time traveling adventures, you could hear the radio broadcast of that. I think it was in the 1950s. We dramatized it as a thing called War of the Worlds, and it was written by Orson Welles. But everyone thought it was real. So. That's what happened. That's what's going to happen.
I was Googling that the other day because we had that conversation on last week's show, or maybe it was the week before, about radio plays and whether they're still like current, like on the radio. And it seemed to suggest it was a bit of it's a myth. They don't quite know how many people were fooled by the War of the Worlds. It seems like there's heaps of different accounts. And
there are.
It's hard to track what's real.
And it's being made into parodies in the future as well.
Mm. Plenty to come on the podcast. We're going to recap throughout the whole show. You're going to hear all the bits, all the laughs, all the awkwardness.
All the quality radio.
All the fantastic quality radio.
Groovy.
Get Serial Tuesdays. Ben, Tom and Bram, thanks again for listening.
Enjoy.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
Top of the morning.
Yep, top of the morning, Melbourne, and welcome to Get Serial on Sin 90.7 FM. It's Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It totally is. For the first hour of this show, we're going to be talking about various things like what scared us as a kid. Ooh. And if we were to have dinner with anyone, who would it be? We've also got our favorite sitcoms of all time lined up for the show. And make sure to stay tuned because later on in the show, we've got a sing-off happening. Make sure to talk to us on social media. We will talk back. It's our promise to you. We've got Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. We're all over most of the socials, actually, under the handle Get Serial. Now we've got the first track of the day. It's a nice, wholesome one. It's Caro Caro Benito with Forever Summer Holiday. You're listening to Sin 90.7 FM Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram.
Woo! Sin acknowledges and pays respect to the owners of the land upon which the House of Sin Studios stand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation.
Oh my flippity flop, that was Caligula's horse. The hands are the hardest. The hands can be quite hard, but the hands are soft this morning because you, my friends, my comrades, are listening to Sin 90.7. It is just past 6:10. It's top of the morning here to you, and oh my goodness, we've got an amazing topic lined up, and I want to ask this question to both of you before I give my answer. I'm still trying to come to terms that I'm sharing this with you guys, but I think to ease my conscience, I need to ask what your opinion is. Bram, Ben, what were your childhood fears?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got two that come to mind right away. The first one, it's a little ridiculous. I used to hear this really weird sound when I'd sleep, like on the top of my roof, this... and I'd be
Is
like...
Is it a possum?
I, I'd be like, Mum and Dad, what is this? And I'd wake them up at like 3 a.m. and then they'd come in and then absolutely it was just a possum.
Can sound quite terrifying.
Yeah, because it was one of those things like as soon as they would come in the room, it would never make any noise. Silly thing. The other thing, just quickly, when I was 7 or 8, I used to go to my uncle's house and I'd play a bit of PlayStation 1. And, there'd be your typical car racing games and so forth. But one particular day, there was a new game in there called Mortal Kombat. I went to play this thing and, colourful characters and so forth. But then I got up to this boss and his name was Goro and he had, like, multiple arms and hands. And that frightened the bejeebers out of me.
To embed fear in anyone.
It frightened me so much I didn't play the game for, like, another decade. And then when I put it on, I was like, well, that's bizarre. What am I worried about?
Did you get any harkening back to that at all?
Yeah, I have. I've put it on in the last few years, and it's good fun.
Yeah.
So. Well, I feel like when you're sort of playing it with that sort of hindsight in mind, it's a lot more a much more fun experience. It was like sort of me and like the rest of the school at the time. We had this thing at our primary school and it was sort of like, it was really weird because it was like cooties on steroids. There was like, one certain person that like, and I feel like I'm allowed to mention this because like we look back at it now and she's like probably one of the few people I enjoy talking to from primary school. We thought of it as like this really weird epidemic where like we weren't allowed to touch her and like we were pretty much just scared of her. Looking back on it, it was, like, really weird. But then again, like, when you're a kid, you are scared of, like, the weirdest things. And you would know all about this, Tom, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Look, there are two things I'd love to mention. One is quite normal, but the next is quite not normal. So let's keep the normality with us for 2 more seconds before we unveil my deepest, darkest secret.
It's got me in. There's no doubt.
The first one... if you've seen the film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, you remember that famous tunnel scene where you see chickens getting their heads chopped off and slugs going all over people's faces. It's terrifying stuff, but the one that I'm uncertain about sharing on air right now, I had this terrible fear of the play school rocket clock.
Countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... 0, blast off. Behind the rocket clock, a lion
really?
Grasped the long grass.
Embarrassing now.
Look, I'll cut you some slack, Tom. Like, looking back on that, if I were a kid, like, it would be kind of terrifying.
I think it was the sound at the start and the impending clock face looking at me.
Yep.
But whenever I heard that sound, or whenever the friendly people like George or Bonetta and said, and now it's time for a story, I'll go crack a pop and run into the end of the house. Because I know that I tied that sound, that what sound at the start. That was the scariest thing ever.
I guess, like, there's also the whole element of surprise. Like, you don't know what animal is going to be under there.
What's going to be under the clock?
What's going to be under the
rocket
clock?
It's going to get you.
I just don't know how we possibly go on and top that. That's one of the best things. What a revelation. You were scared of that clock.
I was scared of that clock for many years.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. You're listening to Sin 90.7. It's Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. A bit of Courtney Barnett to kick off our morning. The city, it looks pretty right here on Sin 90.7.
Sin 90.7.
Ladies and gentlemen, get that cereal ready. Radio on. It's all about Get Serial Tuesdays. Ben, Tom and Bram. Joining you here, those songs you just heard, great songs, really, really nice morning tracks. Courtney Barnett with her track City Looks Pretty, and it's off her latest record called Tell Me How You Really Feel, and it's nothing but strength to strength with Courtney Barnett. She's playing at the Festival Hall, 1st of September, you can definitely check her out there, with the East Brunswick All Girls Choir as well, supporting Courtney. Don't you love supports? There's always great artists, you see.
Love a bit of cheeky support.
Yeah. And the other song there, Denora, as well, with American Cars. Gentlemen, this is a last week we asked a question and we said to ourselves, you know, if you could live in any time frame, what would it be? I've come back with a bit of a different spin on it this week. If you were to have dinner with anyone, it can be absolutely anyone, who would it be, Tom?
I had to think about this and I thought down to my roots, and there's two deeper answers I thought of to this. One of those is Timothy in the New Testament of the Bible. The reason why I think about him is at the time that he was introduced in a book called Acts, he was a young person and saw himself as a bit of a misfit, and when he was chosen to go follow others, he was like, why me? And I feel like the younger generation now has kind of got this why me syndrome about them. So I think he'll be a great advocate to talk to in that regard, that young people can do cool stuff too, across the board, whatever that is. And I think that's a really good reason to talk to him. Another person who I think just has a really interesting life, and I love to pin them down, not for the fact that they were just Doctor Who, but John Pertwee has done a million and one things. He's starting kids' shows. But before he did his screen acting, in the time of around World War II, he did a lot of interesting stuff. He was in the Secret Services. So he was a secret agent along with Ian Fleming, who wrote James Bond. So a lot of the tricks of the trade that you'd hear in the James Bond novels and films come from that time, which is really interesting.
And for those who aren't aware, John Pertwee played the third Doctor in the Doctor Who series, and I know this because Tom has educated extensively over the years.
And his son as well, you might not realise, Sean Pertwee is playing the butler, Albert, in the Gotham TV series. You can see the resemblance when you look at them.
So, Bram, I'm curious to weigh up, who would you have dinner with if you could have dinner with anyone?
This is something that I actually found out fairly recently. I've always been, I guess like everyone has always been sort of some sort of mystified or like, I guess, drawn to it. But like the story of Alice in Wonderland always intrigues me.
Oh, great story.
And if I were to have dinner with anyone, it would probably have to be the Mad Hatter. I'm just like thinking back to this exhibition I went to a few weeks ago. Actually, it was at Acme.
It's so good.
Yeah, it was a great exhibition. And they have this room where sort of have this, you've got this like reimagination of the tea party scene. And it was really great to sort of feel like you're actually a part of that, like just sort of going from seeing it in the films and on TV to actually, I guess, like, quote-unquote, like, living it in a way. Like, I
and
actually want to, like, live this for real. Like, there's just, like, it's really interesting.
It's awesome.
Yourself, yeah. Ben?
Look, I jotted down a couple of names. I know it can only be one, but it's hard to choose.
It is.
For me, Eddie Van Halen, he's my favourite guitarist of all time. And, you know, some people might say, well, he's a washed up rock star. Well, if you can't say anything nice, don't say it at all. But
absolutely.
No, he hasn't played a gig in the last 3 years. I would love to catch up and just hear stories. Gary Cherone, who's a singer of Extreme. More Than Words, if you remember that song. Timothy Dalton, who played James Bond as well. And just quickly, on the ladies' side of things, Judi Dench.
She'd be great. She's done so many things.
Isn't she just fascinating? I would love to meet her.
Spend most of the dinner just talking.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Your dinner would go cold.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and she gives you those stone cold looks too.
Those eyes.
Oh man, isn't she great?
She's great.
She's perfect. Also, another great song. It's the Gorillaz with this track "Dare" right here on Sin 90.7.
You're listening to Sin 90.7.
Oh, Oh my god, those were total bangers, weren't they?
They
weren't
were they, lads? Indeed. Nice choices.
Yeah, so those three tracks that we had were Dare by the Gorillaz. We also had Continental Shelf by Preoccupations. These two actually have new albums out. The Gorillaz recently released their album called The Now Now.
It's great. Yeah. Listen to it.
Yeah, take Tom's word for it. I haven't listened to it yet.
You know, it's getting to a point where it feels like a full-time job just to try to listen through every single new release because there's so much quality coming out of them.
Yeah, well, like, get paid for this.
For me, it's like it's a bit of a force of habit, which is sort of why I'm kind of surprised I haven't listened to this new album. I have listened to Preoccupations' new album, though, new material.
It's called New Material,
aptly named. That's pretty good. Preoccupations is a great band. And yeah. And that last track that we just heard was I Won't Let You Down by OK Go. Is it a favourite of anyone on this panel?
I really like this one, and I really like OK Go. I think they're quite... As we were just chatting about, they're quite notable for their videos, but I listen to a lot of their music just as I'm walking places, and this is one that I'll often go to.
Yeah, to me, those videos are unlike anything. I think they're leading the pack. Yeah. They get more ambitious every single time.
Each video tries to trump it again and again.
Yeah. I've got a question to pose to you two.
Ask away.
Do you like sitcoms?
I love a cheeky sitcom.
What's your favourite?
Well, I've narrowed it down to three, like, different sections of my life. I remember being 12, and my grandfather and my dad came up to me, and they said, Thomas, we think it's time, and they showed me a DVD box set of The Goodies, which, if you don't know what that is, it's around 70s, 80s British sitcom about three guys who own this institution where the slogan is, we'll do anything, anywhere, anytime, and they're the three most polar opposite people, and they go and do all sorts of crazily induced things. Like, there's giant cats, there's they go and do Jack and the Beanstalk, there's heaps of hilarious episodes, but that was a perfect introduction for sitcom for me. Fast forward to high school, university, I got into The Young Ones. Perfect time to get into it. Bunch of people living in a uni flat in Britain, hilarious, and you've got so many different character archetypes there. There's, like, the typical hippie. There's the typical nerd. There's the typical punk rock dude. There's a jock. They're all there in this place, and it's absolutely hilarious. But I think now, I still look back and reminisce on these, but I think the one that everybody can relate to in some way or some form is Seinfeld. And for me, I relate the most to Kramer, who's this really weird, wacky dude who always swings in the door at every entrance and has this crazy idea every episode. It's quite fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. You look through the list of sitcoms, and I think the most notable moments are probably from Seinfeld, like the moments we quote the most and so forth. Whereas I was thinking, you know, I love the show Frasier, but at the same time, there's not heaps of parts of it that, like, I quote a lot. Maybe it's just I hang around people that haven't seen it, perhaps.
It's more about the story for Frasier, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And it's a long series. It's about 11 seasons. But it's good stuff. Here we go. This is somewhat odd. I have seen, and I'm not joking, gentlemen, I've seen every single episode of the following sitcoms. How I Met Your Mother, Whoa. Everybody Loves Raymond, wow. Seinfeld, Frasier, Becker, and Friends.
I watch
a different sitcom every year, and for those keeping track, that is a lot
of
canned laughter.
Yeah.
That is a lot of canned laughter. That's enough canned laughter to make someone go insane.
Yeah. Raymond is another really good one, and I think the characters in that are quite notable too.
See, my problem with Raymond is it's always Ray does something, he upsets Deborah, and then the parents get angry at Deborah, and Deborah gets angry at Ray, and then they make up at the end.
And look, you get the odd comment by Frank and the brother
as well. That's right, yeah.
Sometimes a formula can be entertaining. It's like seeing how that manifests in different situations. But I feel like there's a bit of an underrepresentation of, like, British sitcoms in this panel. And I feel like that's where I can help. So I'm totally into stuff like The Inbetweeners, especially as a high schooler. It's, like, the most relatable thing on the planet. There's also The IT Crowd.
Yeah, definitely know that one as well.
Peep Show. I'm a massive fan of the way that Peep Show is actually shot, because it seems like the only show that can be shot this way and makes sense. Of everyone staring down the barrel of the camera, looking like, well, it feels like they're staring down
at you.
It's
quite intimidating,
isn't it? Yeah, it's quite intimidating, but like, that's the point.
It's really clever.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
My friend and I actually put together a YouTube comedy series that was like 8 parts, and we kind of shot it unintentionally like The Peep Show, and everyone kept on telling me that it looked like The Peep Show, and I need to watch a bit more of that to brush
you
up
really
on it for
do.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned that there's a lack of British here, because you've listed some great ones, but like 2 of the ones I've mentioned are British as well.
I know they are, but it's just like there is so much...
There's a lot to explore.
Yeah, there's so much to explore, and I feel like this entire panel only really represents like the surface of what there is to really... Yeah,
so
delve into.
If our listeners out there who are tuning in right now via our live radio or the podcast have a favourite sitcom, tune in with us on social media, and we'd love to find out what your favourite sitcoms are. And just to chuck one out there as well, Lena and Woodley is absolutely timeless.
Yes, absolutely. Colin Lane, the best.
Frank Woodley is the best too.
Oh, they're both
of them.
They're both incredible. A fantastic film that is absolutely hilarious is Beverly Hills Cop. It features Eddie Murphy. And this track's from it. It's Patti LaBelle. We're stirring it up here. And so is Patti LaBelle. Stirring it up here on Sin 90.7. Let's get that serial happening.
Quality radio.
Woo!
Sin 90.7.
Man, what a fantastic Tuesday morning it's turning out to be.
It's absolutely splendid.
Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying it as well.
Yeah.
What have we spoken about this morning? Well, quite a bit. Things that scared us as a kid. The revelation it was broken that Tom was scared of the clock from play school.
It was terrifying.
That had me laughing silly. It was good stuff. Also, we discussed dinner with whoever we'd like to have dinner with. That was an interesting one. And, of course, coming up in the next hour... in the next 2 hours, rather, at 8 o'clock, sing off. The challenge has been laid down between all the hosts. Who has the best voice? Well, we're going to find out. But for the following hour, is reality TV still relevant? What on earth could Tom have possibly dreamt about last night? And our favourite artists, TV and films. So there you have it.
And books, of course, too.
Yes, so I'm very much looking forward to the discussion. It's going to be a great hour. It's going to be quality radio. And now it's time to move on to Bow and Arrow with a brand new track from them. But first, it's time for the news.
We're on your radio. We're online. We're digital. We're everywhere. Sin Media.
We're young people. Run the show. Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
You're listening to Sin 90.7, and everything's going our way because, ladies and gentlemen, it is a toppy, the toppiest of toppy mornings. We have a jam sauce packed schedule. We've looked at all sorts of fruitful things this morning. We rediscovered ourselves and talked about our greatest fears. Bit of an interesting mix amongst there.
Well, coming from you, at least.
I shared with my fear of the play school rock o'clock, which was quite interesting. Had us laughing in fits. And we've also talked about some other things, like our favourite sitcoms, notable mentions from Seinfeld and IT Crowd and some of those others. And some things coming up. What on earth did I dream about last night? Well, tune in and find out. It's going to be a hoot and two halves, to be very precise. We're going to talk about our favourite artists, things that we're into, whether that's theatre or books or TV shows or podcasts, all things across the spectrum that are tantalising our taste buds. And tune in, because, ladies and gentlemen, the first time here on Get Serial Tuesdays, we have a sing-off.
And if your singing to kick off that intro is anything to go by, I think we're in trouble.
We are in a lot of trouble. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you kick back, relax, as you're driving to work, as you're on the train, or as you're having a meta... existential crisis with yourself. Remember, everything is at a Wuthering Heights with Kate Bush. You're living. You're listening to Sin 90.7.
We are back at Get Serial Tuesdays featuring Ben, Tom and Bram. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Hello.
Rise and shine.
Some fantastic tracks there. Firstly, in honour of Kate Bush's 60th birthday yesterday, happy birthday, Kate Bush. We played one of her classic tracks at Wuthering Heights to celebrate the big 6-0. And after that, Dead Letter Circus, their track The Real You.
It was actually a bit of a month of birthdays for Kate Bush because she had the 40th anniversary of the track Wuthering Heights.
Oh, okay.
There was actually a few sort of flash mobs around the planet, actually. Okay. And they were trying to, like, recreate the video. I actually saw a few of them and they were really interesting.
Cool.
Found it kind of sucky that I didn't know about these until I actually saw them.
It was a little bit too late. Yeah,
a little bit, like, too late, too soon. She is an icon. Yeah.
Indeed.
She does ever so well. And Dead Letter Circus, their track, The Real You. They've got a brand new record coming out. It'll be their fourth official studio album of new material. It comes out September 21st on Rise Records. You can check that one out. Otherwise, I have to ask the question, and this is such a tough one, Tom and Bram. Mm,
it is.
If you had to lose one thing, either your eyesight or your hearing, completely lose it, it'll no longer work, which one would you go for and why?
I think for me, the more I think about it, the more I'm caught in a bit of a dilemma. But I need to think back down to my roots again. I love art and I've studied art. I live and breathe it. Anyone who knows me knows that I love to draw and I love anything visual. That includes acting as well. So I think for me personally, because of the practice that I do, but because of the pleasure I get from that as well, and the pleasure of me seeing other people do those things too, I reckon I would have to lose my hearing so I could still enjoy that pleasure of painting or drawing or acting as well, because they're quite beautiful things when you see it done well, and I love seeing it done authentically well by others. So without being able to visualise that, I think there'll be quite a calamity for me.
I feel like I'm sort of on the same page with you in regards to, like, my appreciation for art and, in a way, like, it tying into my own practice, I guess. But my sort of, I guess, appreciation for it is more on the audio side. So I'm very much a musical person. Was in a choir in high school for a few years. And although it's something that I haven't really seriously gotten into yet, sort of music and music production is something that really interests me. Mm. So in that regard, I feel like losing my eyesight is something that I would probably be more okay with. Also because your other sights are meant to be heightened if one of them is deprived. So it's sort of, I guess, this thing of maybe if my eyesight were lost, I'd be able to pick up on audio things more finely.
It makes me think if my vision was heightened and you see tantalizing works by people like Vincent van Gogh.
Yeah.
How tantalizing that would be if it was even more heightened.
Yeah.
I have to agree with Bram, simply because, well, firstly, if I lost my hearing, this show wouldn't be possible. We wouldn't be doing this. It would just be a bit of a mess, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And as much as I love visually watching sport and so forth, I don't think it really means as much without sound, personally. So for that basis alone, I think I would go through with just hearing and losing my eyesight, which would be ever so difficult.
I think we've all learned to agree to disagree. There's a lot of varying opinions and different answers there, which is really interesting.
And for you listening at home, what would you rather lose, your eyesight or your hearing? I'll be putting a poll up on our Twitter, Get Serial, and make sure to talk to us. This is a running promise. We'll talk to you back. we are not cold, responseless dragons in the studio.
No, absolutely yeah. not. Coming up in an hour, we're going to have a sing-off, so don't go anywhere. But yeah, for the meantime, we're all simply middle kids. Don't be hiding.
Make sure to not be hiding and talk to us on social media. You're listening to Sin 90.7 FM, Ben, Tom and Bram. Get Serial Tuesdays.
Sin 90.7.
You are joining us here. Hello, welcome to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7. I was having a wonderful morning until something just happened just a second ago that absolutely irked me. You see, I've put a lot of effort into this playlist over the coming weeks.
Yeah.
And the idea is simply I don't want to play an artist twice. Now, somehow, some way, the Chemical Brothers just played, and I don't recall putting them in there. And Tom, can you answer for this?
Yeah, I feel like he can explain.
I didn't know that we weren't trying to replay artists. I thought we're just putting on music that we enjoyed.
No, the whole 12 weeks it was set, we were going to have different artists, more effort, more research, and you've just blatantly gone, I don't know when you snuck it in, but you have.
It's a good song.
I don't know, I am like, I'm going to be quite honest, I do like, well, I have two sort of things I want to say. I kind of like Tom's sense of like, on-the-fly hedonism with this song choice, but also I feel like we can kind of forgive it for the Chemical Brothers. They are a pretty great act.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, if it was the radio version, that would have been fine. The fact is, it was meant to be a 3.5 minute track, and it's blown out to 5.5 minutes. We've got to get to the news.
Yeah, we do.
Why didn't you put the radio one on?
I couldn't find it on Spotify.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. I'll tell you, it's unbelievable. You're just unbelievable. This is what I have to work with live on the air.
If you're going to tell me not to play the same artist twice, then you need to tell me. Otherwise, I'm not going to know.
Okay. Right.
Well, this is a rule that we now have on the show. We should write it down, put it up as a plaque in this studio. I reckon.
Well, with that said, it's time for the news with April. Goodness. And Tom and I, we're going to air this outside for a second, or maybe not.
I'll be back with more news in half an hour. Stay tuned for more Get Serial.
Thanks for that, April. Thanks for the news. Ben and I, we've calmed down now. But just to bring us back into the flow of the morning, April, we really want to include you in the conversation. We talked about earlier, what are our childhood fears? Is there something that impended fear? I was about to say embedded, but I said is there something that embedded fear in you as a kid and still does?
Spiders were my thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Pretty standard one, but definitely a big one for me. Though I've actually grown out of it a bit.
Really?
My mum will be listening probably and be saying, no, April's still scared of spiders. She makes me come in every...
I feel like even though it's a standard one, it's one that's still definitely worth saying, though.
See, well, you've grown out of the fear of spiders. I haven't.
No, so, neither have I.
Yeah.
I feel like I've somewhat grown out of it, but sort of in the sense that, like, I'm not as scared. Like, I used to be absolutely terrified of spiders as a kid, but now I'm only, like, mildly terrified.
I think it's also, once you get older, you have to deal with it yourself.
Yeah.
There's not... I don't have my parents all the time to call them in and be like, you need to get rid of that spider so that I can carry on with life.
You've got to get that cup and trap that spider now. It's your responsibility.
But you look into all those eyes and they are evil. They've got their pincers ticking away. It's just evil.
It's the legs that get me.
Oh, really? It's everything about it. Like, the fear that, like, it could come down on a web and just say g'day.
You don't need to do this to me.
And the worst thing that's ever happened to me in terms of spiders would have been at my sister's place. This was back when I was maybe in year 7 or 8. I was doing just, like, I was helping her out with cleaning, like, vacuuming and stuff. And there was this spider and it had a giant back. And little did I know that back was, like, an egg sack full of spider babies. And I didn't know this until the spider until it popped and then... baby spiders just went everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a funny story about spiders. I was about to take a shower, and I think I was dating someone at the time, and my stepmom said to me, now, don't panic, but there's a spider in the bathroom. Just mind your business. The spider will keep to its own business. And I went, okay, I'll trust you on this. So the mapping of my house is that the bathroom's right next to my bedroom, but on the other side of the bathroom, there's the kitchen, the study, and the lounge room. I went in to have a shower. I thought it was going to be fine. I just get it done quickly and not worry about the spider. But I keep checking the corner of my eye to see, like, where it is, because I don't want it to come in with me. And have
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
But I'm looking just around the corner. 2 minutes into my shower, there's this crawling.
Oh,
and
no.
I look, and it just scuttles at like a million miles per hour. And I go, oh, no, I'm out of here. So I grab my towel, drop it halfway, but I don't go to my room. I go through the kitchen, the study, and the lounge room for everyone to see all the shining glory.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
Calamity.
Ah.
Oh, dear. We all have fears, that's for sure. What a good, good piece of music we got coming up for you right now. It's King Princess, the track Talia, right here. It's Get Serials Tuesdays. Ben, Tom and Bram, Sin 90.7.
Quality radio.
You're listening to Sin 90.7.
Top of the morning, Youth of Melbourne. That was an incredible end to that track. Those two tracks that you've just heard were Talia by King Princess, and we also had Cul-de-sac by Dan Sultan. Totally, totally incredible songs. We've just, like, I just feel like the three of us are, like, all over it in terms of music. Like, the music that we've been playing on this show is incredible.
It really is. It's even more incredible when the music is all different artists. Every single one. No, I'll stop.
Oh, just drop
please.
It then. We'll take this outside.
We figured this out. I thought we figured this out.
No, we have.
Okay.
So I guess there is a question that's just floated around the studio room. Is reality TV still an entertaining medium, or has it run its race?
Well, Ben, I'm glad you've asked this, because I personally think that reality TV is a load of flop. Personally, I don't get a lot of entertainment value out of it. I much prefer to watch a fictional story that has feel-good moment, a bit to think about, something a bit provocative. But I guess when I think about this more, it depends on what the medium is. And it's all down to a thing called execution. And I feel like shows like MasterChef do this really well. I think, shout out to Sashi, he is doing such a good job on that show. And I really hope he comes out well at the end of the season. Because the way they frame people like him, just as an example, he's a guy who does his good deeds, he goes about his life, he works as a prison officer, but he wants to do something really good for the world. And that's the kind of reality TV I enjoy, but I only watch it in small segments.
I personally feel like reality TV, like, it's such a broad genre that it's something that can really be hit or miss. Like, you can have shows like, say, My Kitchen Rules, or shows of that sort that just feel really trashy, and when you're watching them, you just feel you feel like you haven't really sort of gained much. To put it bluntly, but there are shows out there that I do feel like are kind of maybe still trashy, but like they're just good to watch. They're just lots of fun. And The Amazing Race is one really good example of that. I don't know whether or not it can really be called like reality TV, because it's sort of more of a game show, but
I guess it
like
is.
it's reality TV in a way, and it's a show that like was part of my weird childhood viewing. So
just going back to My Kitchen Rules, people forget this, there was actually a time with that show where it wasn't trashy, and they didn't just hire couples to cause controversy. It started out as almost like a MasterChef, like really nice, calm people. Come into our house, let's have a nice meal.
It's
but
the
now
way it's
and then it, I feel like it, I feel like they realized. Well, I feel like they sort of realized that some people naturally caused drama, and then the producers were like, "Oh, let's try to artificially cause this drama." And it's like sort of very obvious that they're trying to like artificially create it.
That's exactly what's happened.
I think this has made me think about two things. One is how meta Gogglebox is.
Oh,
if you haven't seen it,
oh.
It's people watching TV. And it's quite funny because it makes you think about yourself and the comments that you make with your housemates or your family when you watch TV. And another thing is, if you harken back to the early 2000s, when shows like Australian Idol and Big Brother were just starting, everyone was watching it.
The
it
golden
was this
age.
Newfound concept.
The golden age of reality TV. The
it
early
was,
2000s.
Yeah. It definitely felt more fun back then, didn't it?
Yeah, and it's sort of like, it's become a part of like meme culture nowadays, where we sort of harken back to those like reality TV days. Like,
absolutely.
Shannon Knoll was robbed.
Guy Sebastian.
Yeah.
My final word on this, I feel reality TV, it's perfect and it's designed for those blue-collar workers. Work 9 to 5, stressful day at the office. You just want to come home, eat something and unwind and not think too hard. That's how I see reality TV as. It's I know a lot of people who are like that.
That's
I can see
it.
The value in that for those people, definitely.
Yep. Mm. Right now, we're going to go to a song that is just... This band is tearing up the scene, especially in the hardcore world. They're from Melbourne. They're called L for Wolf. This is a heavy one, a language warning.
Get ready.
It is Black Mamba. You can catch them playing at the Workers' Club this Friday. L for Wolf, Black Mamba, here on Sin 90.7.
Quality seven, radio.
Seven. Hello, you're listening to Sin 90.7. That was Alpha Wolf, Black Mamba, and Dean Lewis, Be All Right. And we are indeed going to be all right. It is an all right morning here at Sin.
All right. I think it's a fantastic
it's been
morning.
More than all right.
I think, yeah, that was a bit of an underestimation.
Maybe for you it was just all right.
I think
after the talk we had.
We got a bit heated before, but we're all on the same page and we're all friends again and dancing in the fields, so we're good.
So, Tom, we've reached that part of the Tuesday morning again. What on earth did you dream about last night?
Well, Ben, I'm glad you've asked. Today is definitely a bit of a gambler. It's a bit of a doozy. I had a dream that everything was quite dystopian and post-apocalyptic. Not to the extent that the giant chocolate ice cream spider was a few weeks ago. I think that was our first week. But I was in the Dandenongs, if people know where that is, in Victoria. And there were these little grey blobbish things, like all over the place, that came out of the ground. And there were these little creatures that, whenever they walked, they made the sound of a harpsichord. So they would make this weird sound. But what they do is that they'll sit on your skin and sink into the pores of your skin. And once they're inside your body, they'll set like concrete and you can't breathe. So this was happening to people all around me and people were just dropping like flies everywhere. And my friend, who was also in this stream, she's quite older. She might be in her 40s and she's one of the friendliest people ever. And she was talking about Survival 101 at the Montrose Town Hall and saying, now remember, folks, when you're dealing with these things, put pitchforks up against your fence so they can't come in, that's going to detract them. Maybe some garlic as well. Things that you wouldn't expect to hear her saying. So I've had this recurring thing in the last week that whenever something down, like, goes down like this, I tend to go bush. So what I did, I was hitchhiking my way as far out as I could go, like beyond Powhatan we're talking, and these blobby things, I wore this skin suit, so the blobby things couldn't get into my skin, but it was happening to everyone I was talking to. Like, there was this diner that I went to in like the middle of the forest somewhere, like this log cabin, and I was talking to the person making coffee there, and within minutes they were like infected by this blobby creature, and the blobby creature was coming out like balloons out of every region. That was quite terrifying. But what happened was when it did it to this specific person, the blobby creatures had an offspring, and they were, it was funny, we were talking about spiders before, they were kind of like a spider, but not, they just had four legs and were really tall and red.
Ooh,
and
instead of spinning web, they went onto the back of people's necks and they'd stick their little mouth in and they'd suck out people's blood and just spit it across the room, and it'd come
like
red licorice. And it was quite funny because we had all these streamers of blood everywhere and these little four-legged things were having a party. They were playing their harpsichord music with their feet and they were just having fun. So we're like, well, let's make a peace treaty and have a party with you.
I'm curious, do these dreams happen and then you wake up, or these are just random ones throughout the night and you just remember them?
So what I do as soon as I wake up, I always wake up and go, that was a weird dream. I make sure I write it down. This is advice to anyone listening who has weird dreams as well, like myself. I write it down as soon as I wake up. Otherwise, within minutes, I forget what's happened. Yeah.
I don't know about anyone here in the panel or anyone in the studio or anyone listening at home, but it sounds like Tom's Head is definitely a party I want to be invited to.
You're all invited.
It's unreal. And yeah, we just keep getting more and more twisted and confused by it every single week.
And you know what? Probably at that party, we probably had some singing and dancing when we hit the pinata, but it probably left us with some bruises. And that's the next song coming up, Bruises by Chairlift.
You're listening to Sin 90.7, Ben, Tom and Bram Tuesdays.
Quality radio.
Get naked.
You're listening to
Get Serial.
Top of the morning. You are joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram, Sin 90.7. It's 8 o'clock here on the program and it's going to be such an eventful hour. I simply can't wait. We're having a sing-off in the studio.
What?
Get pumped.
It could be a train wreck, but hopefully not. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. Also, we're going to discuss Tom and I and our experience participating in the open mics and the absurdity of the whole circumstance, and even a look at Bram's Sound Workshop Week. There's plenty going on in the final hour, but for now, a very hot shower, two steps on the water, right here on Sin 90.7. Welcome back to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7.
Hello.
Those two fantastic tracks, A Very Hot Shower, Two Steps on the Water, and, of course, Coloured Stone with Dancing in the Moonlight. And, well, we have arrived at the sing-off. The track coming up soon, it's Confidence Man. Man, we're going to need a bit of confidence right now. We're singing live on the air, and I've brought in April, our very talented newsreader, and she's going to judge us on what is about to take place. Now, April, what exactly are you looking for in this sing-off?
Look, I'm going to be looking for enthusiasm. I want you to be into the song. I want to see the emotion coming through.
Okay, yep.
I need your heart in this.
Okay.
Tom, your heart needs to be in it because you're up now, so we're gonna go with your song. You're the first cab off the rank.
Yeah. So I'm going to be singing a song very close to my heart. I'd be as far to say it's my anthem. We're going to sing Toxic by Britney Spears. Baby, can't you see? I'm calling. A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous. I'm falling. There's no escape. I can't wait. I need a hit. Baby, give me it. Dangerous. I'm loving it. Too high. I can't come down. Losing my head, spinning round and round. Do you feel me now? Oh, the taste of your lips. Oh, the taste of your lips. I'm on a ride. You're toxic. I'm slipping under the taste of a poison paradise. I'm addicted to you. Don't you know that you're toxic? And I love what you do. Don't you know that you're toxic?
Hey, well done there, Tom.
Very good.
Excellent work.
Very good.
It's it takes a bit of courage to sing on the air. April, what were your thoughts on Tom's performance just then?
Look, expression was great.
What you can't see that on radio.
No, what you all missed listening at home was some great hand expressions, facial expressions. So definitely you're going to be ready when you hit the karaoke bars.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it was a little bit spoken, though. We could have had a bit more rhythm.
Absolutely.
I think the timing might have gotten a bit lost.
It was, at times.
But you carried it through.
Just a little word for people listening to today's show. This video, a video of this will actually be up on Facebook later today.
It
so
will
you
be.
Can see the expressionism for yourself.
Certainly check it out. Unfortunately, we drew this out of a hat, did we? No, we didn't. I'm up second. And I decided to choose a track that plays typically whenever you're in a supermarket or you're just walking around a shopping centre and they haven't updated their PA in about 15 or 20 years. So, Blake, let's hit it. Here we go. Round two. Come and hold my hand. I wanna contact the living. Not sure I understand this role I've been given. Ooh yeah, here we go. I sit and talk to God, and he just laughs at my plans. My head speaks a language I don't understand. Right, let's bring it home. I just wanna feel real love, feel the home that I live in. 'Cause I got too much life running through my veins, going to waste. And my goodness, there we go. That was my contribution to the morning.
Well done, Ben.
Well, all I've got to say is I think we should have waited until the end for me to give my feedback, because I would not have been so nice to you, John. Oh. That was incredible.
Oh, wow, thank you. So when this challenge was laid down, the thing that I didn't realise is Bram was actually a choir singer. So all of a sudden, I'm a bit scared. Bram is up third. He's coming around. Here he is.
Yep. So I just want to say before I start that the fact that I have performed in choirs before, like it was mostly in high school, this was something I actually brought up when the idea of the sing-off came about. So I feel like if either of you two have felt intimidated by that in the lead-up to this, I'm sorry, but here we go. I'm about to sing my track. It's called It's Oh So Quiet by the one and only Björk. It's off her second, well, I say like her second album as Björk, Post, and it's actually a cover of a song that's really, really old. Like, it's probably from the 30s or 40s or something. Early 20th century, anyway. So, yeah, I will be singing this track now. So peaceful until you fall in love, ding boom, sky up above, ding boom, is caving in. Wow! You've ever been so nuts about a guy? You want to laugh, you want to cry, you cross your heart and hope you die till it's over and then shh, shh, it's nice and quiet, shh, shh, but soon again starts another big riot. You blow a fuse, zing boom, if the glue cuts loose, zing boom, so what's the use? Wow! Bam! Falling in love.
Way! There we go. Everyone has had their turn. There can be one winner. And it's in April's capable hands. Who has won the sing-off?
The winner is going to be Bram.
Hey!
Well done, Bram.
I'd say definitely tune into that video later when it goes up on social media to catch Bram's dance moves, because they really brought it home.
Oh, God.
We're going to keep the energy happening here this morning. It's time for a bit of confidence, man. Out the window right here on Get Serial Tuesdays. This is Sin 90.7. Bring it home.
Quality radio.
You are joining us live here at Sin 90.7. Plenty of fantastic music to kick off your morning. Confidence Man with Out the Window. And, of course, also a bit of San Cisco. Hey, did I do you wrong? The time is now 8:30 and we're off to the news with April.
Thanks for the news, April. So I just want to harken back to that sing-off that we did.
You're pretty proud about that win, aren't you?
I guess so, yeah. I'm pretty proud of that.
No, also, like, I didn't congratulate
you. I also feel like we all did an incredible job. But I want to ask you, April, is there a song that is like a total earworm to you right now? Like, you can't get out of your head.
It's
you
wriggling
it,
in
you
there.
You feel it, like, you feel yourself humming it all the time or even singing it when you're in the shower, just like, you know, blurting it out. Is there anything that you're totally hooked on at the moment?
At the moment, actually, a little while ago when Imagine Dragons were in Melbourne, I went to their concert.
Good, aren't they?
And since then, I've just been listening to their music almost all the time.
Yeah.
And my favourite one at the moment, which I didn't really like know very well before I went to the concert, but at the concert I was like, this one's so good, and now I listen to that all the time, is, I think it's called I Don't Know. Or I Don't Know Why, and that's my favourite one at the moment. So
when they released that track, some of the fans didn't like it. They thought they were like selling out, getting a bit more electro.
Mm.
It is a good song.
I thought it was good.
But I enjoy it.
That new album's got so many hooks, it's ridiculous. Tom and I, we have to mention this. We, over the last few weeks, have been doing stand-up comedy. Or last couple of months, rather.
Yeah.
And it's been completely fascinating, the experience. Tom, how was it what you thought it was?
We went into it not expecting what we're going to get. So Beth's idea, we kind of pondered on it for a year or so, and then we thought, let's do it. We've got nothing to lose. So we wrote a sketch that went for about 5 or so minutes, and then we booked into a venue, and they said, no, it has to go for 4 minutes, so we had to chop out a minute of material, which felt harder than it was, actually.
Yeah, that was a little absurd to be like, well, we've kind of practiced this five-minute piece.
And we had to make it even choppier.
Yeah, all of a sudden we're racing for time.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And to make sure that we get all our iconic jokes in as well, because we're really proud of some of the stuff we wrote. But it's always funny when you take something to a venue and you expect you're going to get a laugh out of something, you get a bigger laugh out of something else. And I think I found this at the handful of venues that we went to and experimented with this. And the other thing is, you never know what your audience is going to be like. And we found that we tried to be as clean as possible. We didn't want to be dirty, filthy, and need a bath. But we felt like that we should do something that had a little bit of a story, a bit of a narrative to it. And I think we succeeded in that. But it was interesting, the audience response we got in that as well.
The most absurd thing about doing the comedy, I don't know why. I had it in my mind, it's an open mic night. There'll be plenty of just casual locals there. It was not like that at all at the ones we did. You turn up and it was literally just the comedians that were going to be performing on stage.
That's right.
That would be the audience. And it just felt a little awkward, didn't it?
Credit where due, though. There were a few randoms who rocked up. And there were a few randoms as well who came up to us afterwards and said, hey, that was really good. It was really nice to hear that from someone.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We're definitely going to keep giving it a bit of a crack. Early days yet, but so far so good.
Look out, world.
The final thing I will mention, though, I just thought it'd be the most friendly community of folks. Not quite. Some people have a bit of an ego, and I'm like, hang on, isn't this an open mic night?
Even though it is egocentric, you do find the people who make it through are the nice ones.
Yeah, the nice ones are at the top.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they've got, I don't know, such an ego. They think they're better than they are or so forth. It's
possibly. You never know.
Interesting. That track that eluded all our minds, because simply it's just too enjoyable, it's called Mechanical. It's by Oliver. And it's right here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram, Sin 90.7. Australian hardcore legends Dreg. They are still quite a new band, but they're already legendary in my eyes.
They're pretty great.
Just one of the fantastic Australian artists going around at the moment. And if you love your Australian music, why not check out The Hoist? It's on 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and it showcases the best in Australian music. Heaps and heaps of music news and all the latest and greatest that Australia has to offer in the music scene.
Oodles of poodles.
Exactly. We're all having a fantastic morning. You're joining us here on Get Serial with Ben, Tom and Bram, Sin 90.7. And this happened the other day, gentlemen, and this is a good one. I like this question a lot. We ordered Uber Eats. I was at my sister's house, and it's amazing where technology's gone now. Like, we got it delivered to us by a cyclist, and he must have a tracker on his bike, and we could see that he went past the wrong street, and then he had to turn around and so forth. Is Uber Eats a little over the top, or are people simply just getting a bit lazier?
I wouldn't really say so, actually, because, like, Uber Eats is basically just food delivery, right? Food delivery is something that's been around for ages. It's just now it's more than pizza that's being delivered. Mm. I guess that's like my very short but also very hot take on this topic. It is not lazy at all. It is food delivery and it is completely fine.
So, Bram, you're standing there saying, I like Uber Eats.
Yeah.
I wash myself with a rag on a stick and I need all my food delivered. In all seriousness, I really enjoy the event of going out to get food. Like, you think of kebabs and HSPs, they're not the highest on the food chain, but there's quite an emotion that's built up when you go to the place and watch it get cooked. And I feel like this about restaurants as well. I really enjoy eating out, so I'm not a huge fan of Uber Eats. I can see the merit in it and the need, but it's not for me.
Well, I feel like this, it's both, they're both like different experiences for different moods. Like, if you're just wanting something to eat but you don't want to be heading out, Uber Eats is like sort of your go-to. But if you do want to have that experience of going out and like going to a restaurant and like sitting down, maybe with a mate and just like having a chat.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even like, on your own as well.
Even on your own. Yeah.
It's not exactly a first date experience. Come to my house and we'll eat Uber Eats. No, not really.
No.
But I think it does come in handy. You got people coming around for sporting events and so forth. Let's get some Uber Eats. They can deliver it to us and it means we can just chat nonstop. All that good stuff. Watercolour. It's a track by Pendulum. They had this wicked record called Immersion. I think it was in 2011. And we're going to go straight to it right now. It's Pendulum with Watercolour.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Sin 90.7, Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Now, those two tracks were the one track, actually. We lose track of time here, but that's all right.
That record, Immersion from Pendulum, it was released in 2010, not 2011, which our producer, who's always on top of you, he's just on top of everything.
Yeah.
So that's very helpful to know. Now, Bram, you had an interesting experience last week.
Yeah. Well, the track that we just played was Watercolour by Pendulum. But yes, I actually did. Last week, I interviewed the founder of this program that runs mainly in Footscray and in the city called Sound School. Her name's Bridget. She's such a lovely person. Really interesting as well. So this program that she runs aims to provide like accessible and free like electronic music education. And it's mainly for young people who are of like a low income background or young women or queer people or people with disabilities, mainly as a way to sort of level the playing field in the music scene. I actually realized that I went to one of these workshops not too long ago, and you got to like build your own synthesizer, and it was really, really interesting.
That's cool.
Just being able to do this in a space where you, well, sort of like in a space where everyone else was able to do it as well. It's like, it's something that you don't really get the chance to do every day. And it was also, it was facilitated by this person who is a part of this project that runs in Melbourne called InfraGhosts. And I also find it really sort of touching that, like, she tries to get people who are within the local music scene to try to actually run these programs. When I was interviewing her, one of the things that did stick in my mind was the fact that she said 9 out of 10 times whenever she approaches people to facilitate workshops, they will go,
sorry, I can't do that. I don't know enough. But she will keep on, you know, trying to push them until they get on board. Yeah, and it's like a collaborative process between her and the facilitator. And sometimes it's a collaborative process within the actual workshops between the students. And yeah, I just find that sort of fascinating. It's something that I feel like is really fresh in terms of like music education.
Sounds like she's definitely striving to get the best out of everyone.
Yeah. And it does seem like it is working because last year she ran a pilot intensive program of 12 weeks. Like sort of week by week, she would have like different sort of aspects of electronic music. And she actually ran this entirely on like volunteers and community donations. And it actually won an award at like the Age Music Victoria Awards last year.
Yeah.
And she managed to get a few grants this year from like various like city councils and also like the Australia Council for the Arts. And the first, I guess, workshop of like the winter intensive she's running, these are like sort of, I guess, the flagship programs. She runs a few like standalone ones throughout the year. It's actually being held at the Footscray Community Arts Centre tonight. I forget which of the four programs is running today, but I know that it's covering stuff from DJing to audio engineering, even stuff like, I'm just trying to think, Ableton, so like how to operate like audio workshops, sampling programs, software. The fourth one escapes my mind, but the information for all of this will be on their Facebook page as well as their webpage as well, because they've got a webpage. Just search, just Google Sound School Melbourne. Should be the first one that pops up. Their website is actually very pretty.
That's really, really nice, isn't
yeah,
it?
Love
yeah.
a well-designed website.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Perfect. So there you have it. Plenty of sound going on, including another piece of music. Hey, Tom.
Hey, yeah?
Did you know that my baby takes the morning train?
Does she really?
Oh, she does. At least Sheena Easton wrote a song about it.
At what time?
At 9 to 5. It's Morning Train on Sin 90.7.
You are listening to Sin 90.7, and we are grooving to that beat there, My Baby Takes the Morning Train. And funnily enough, we played that song at 5 to 9, which is a lyric mentioned in the song. How meta is that?
Well, hang on. I don't know who did the scheduling, but they should be getting a pat on the back for that effort. That was just wonderful.
Absolutely. And a pat on the back to the producer as well. That was fantastic timing.
Go, Blake.
Now, we need to mention, this is something that we do at the end of every show because we think it's important that upon everything, we should look ahead into the bright and glorious future and a brave new world. What are we looking forward to in the week?
Hi, I'm Blake. I'm the producer of these three lovely guys, and I am looking forward to going to see the Shannon Noel concert on Friday night in South Morang. Never made my way up to South Morang before, so that'll be an interesting time. Did it because a friend of mine said he was going for his birthday. His sisters brought it for him as a joke, or I'm assuming as a joke, because I don't think he's that much of a Knowlesy fan, but I guess wait and find out. And I succumbed to peer pressure, because I'm like that, and brought myself a ticket. So head along, and I'll pop in. I'll give it a bit of a review for the show next week.
I can't wait for that review. I feel like Knowlesy's going to surprise you.
Oh, he really is. Like he's really going to make me going to listen. To be honest,
you'll be a fan by the end.
Yeah,
of it.
Exactly. I'll be singing "What About Me" for the next 3 weeks.
Ben, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. We played Elf Wolf earlier in the program. Arguably, maybe a little too frantic for this time of the morning. I will be seeing them Friday night at the Workers.
Oh, sounds
very
good.
Very much enjoy it, and it also coincides with Kebab Friday. So it's kebab and a gig.
Oh, gosh.
Sounds healthy and it sounds fun.
I've got a fairly busy night lined up for Thursday night. I've been messaging a few friends lately going, hey, we've got clubbing. So we are going to be doing that. We're going out to this club called Hugs and Kisses. It's actually my first time going there. I've got a few friends who've sort of raved about it, and I've read a few things about the venue, and I just really have been wanting to go for a very long time.
Nice.
There might be a few other venues lined up as the night goes along, because this group of friends that I go with, we're known for improvising our nights, although, like, a kebab is not really out of the question.
Oh.
So, kebab Thursdays...
The later in the evening, yeah, the better it tastes. Yeah.
It's oh my goodness, so good.
And the better conversations you have in the shops with, absolutely, like, random strangers.
Yeah, I've met the most unbelievable people while buying a kebab. Some weird and some not so weird.
Just a quick story. I used to work at a kebab shop, and I remember on my first shift, 1 o'clock in the morning, a group of guys come down, and this guy's walking his cat on a leash.
Oh, my God.
And he gets his kebab, and he's walking along, but the cat won't move, and he's going, "Move, cat," and it's going, "Row," and just stayed there. Let's go of his leash. So this guy and I run in the shop. We just go out and pat this cat, and about half an hour later, his girlfriend comes back and picks up the cat and goes, "I'm so sorry," and ran off into the night.
Just disappeared. Tom, what happens for your week to come? What are you looking forward to?
Well, Ben, obviously I have this to look forward to. It's a great way to spend the week. I also run a youth theatre called Fresh, which is an amazing program. We get to do lots of awesome things, and we have an amazing crew of young people that participate there. So that's something I'm looking forward to, as well as doing a bit of work. So I work in a kitchen as well, which is lots of fun, and a very sociable place, which I've found as well. So as I'm washing those dishes clean, I'll be having a good yak to the people around me too.
Well, thanks everyone for sharing. That's another show done and dusted. Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. The good news is we're back next week from 6 a.m. to 9. Thank you all again. And now here's April with the news.
On your radio, on your TV, and online at syn.org.au.
Scene 90.7.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Scene.